right, please be seated. Good morning. This is our second case this morning. I think we have Westosia Central High School here. Yes? Can you stand up? Wow, what a good group. It's really nice to have you here today. On behalf of the entire court, we welcome you. We hope you find this an interesting day and have safe travels back. I think Justice Kurowski may be meeting with you if you have the time afterwards. Make sure you conjure up all sorts of interesting questions to ask her because she's really smart and she likes tough ones. So I'd like to always put that out there for you, Justice Kurowski. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Counsel, you are here on Deck Property Development, LLC versus Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Could I please start with your appearances?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Alan Markovich, Andrea Roschke of Von Briesen and Roper are appearing on behalf of the property owner.
All right. Okay. All right, good morning to both of you. 25 minutes followed by 30 minutes, 5 minutes in rebuttal, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, please proceed.
May it please the court, having had the privilege of listening to the earlier argument which global issues, we're here dealing with a single small piece of property on Highway 50 in the city of Kenosha. So for those of you from Kenosha, you will recognize some of the geography that we're going to be talking about here. This is a case, Your Honors, with more than a 60-year history. It began in 1961 when the Department of Transportation's legal predecessor entry, which was then called the State Highway Commission, came to a single parcel property owner on Highway 50, which is a main artery in Kenosha, and needed to take some land, and took some land, along with some but not all of its access rights. It then prepared its own document in which it reserved to the owner of that parcel the right of access for two time periods. And it did so for the obvious reason that can easily be gleaned from the record, that this property, if you looked at the picture in the exhibit, only had access to Highway 50. It was a parcel that was mid-block, located with only its front on Highway 50.
Counsel, didn't the access also exist on Highway H?
No, not for this parcel. What has happened, Your Honor, is since 1961, over the period of number of years that have elapsed since then, my client, our client, DEC, acquired this property and acquired two other properties, and there are three separate parcels of property that comprise the DEC ownership.
Is it your position that without this driveway abutting State Highway 50, that you would be landlocked?
This parcel would be landlocked. The
it does,
property,
but right,
the,
but right
the,
now,
the collective assembled property reaches the side street, Highway H.
Is there a driveway right now to Highway H from the property?
No, there is not.
I have on page 14, and I was delighting that it was in color. The map provided page 14 in the state's brief. And it sets forth a driveway on Highway H. Is this correct or incorrect?
This property is undeveloped. There are no driveways on Highway H.
I'm missing something then. Where in your brief are you indicating that you're landlocked without?
Perhaps I should make it clearer. When the property was acquired, this particular parcel of property was acquired and affected by the Department of Transportation in 1961. It was a single ownership parcel. There was no common ownership of adjoining parcels, which there is today. So in 1961, when the department came to the owner of this single parcel, it took some land and it took some access, but it did not take all the access from that property. Had it taken all the access from that property, it would in 1961 have landlocked that parcel, making it an uneconomic remnant, would have given the property owner the right to ask that the entire property be acquired.
Is DOT taking property or rights related to property along Highway 50, or is it taking property along County Road H?
Just Highway 50.
And that's what the jurisdictional offer says?
Yes. The Department of Transportation, which deals with state highways, is dealing with the state highway, which happens to be a city street, but also happens to be Highway 50. The road which borders the property on the west is a county trunk highway over which the department does not exercise its jurisdiction.
Council?
So we're only talking about access to Highway 50 in this case.
Yes. The question was about taking of the property, and it was my understanding as part of this project of State Highway 50 that is before us now, in contrast to the one that occurred in 1991, that the jurisdictional offer included a temporary easement and a permanent easement. The permanent easement, as depicted in the colored picture that I like so much, is rust color, and that is next to Highway H, and then the blue color is the temporary easement. Let me clarify. Aren't those the properties for which the jurisdictional offer was, what, in the amount of $224,000?
I believe that's correct. Okay.
And that's the jurisdictional offer that's in this case before us today.
That's the jurisdictional offer that led to the award. That is the case that is before you.
Yes,
today.
Okay.
Now, in that taking from the subject property that fronted on Highway 50, the department granted a reservation of the right of access for two time periods. It did so, as I said before, for the obvious reason that had it not done so, it would have been required to acquire the entire parcel. Period number one was limited, and it's pretty clear from reading the record that there was a barbershop on the property. And so the restriction from 1961 to 1976 was that the access would only be for a barbershop. But starting in 1976, from that period on, the access would be for a private driveway conforming to the regulations of the state. Just by way of definition, a private driveway access to a property is distinguished only from a public road access to a particular property. A private driveway is located on private property, and it allows the property owner ingress and egress from the adjoining public street. From 1976 to 2020, which is a period of about 44 years, this property was untouched by the Department of Transportation. The record shows no action whatsoever by the Department of Transportation during this 44-year period, neither to take anything from the property nor to require the owner of the property at any point in time to apply for a driveway permit. During this period, as I've indicated before, our client acquired the subject property and two others, assembling them into a four-acre commercial site fronting on State Highway 50, which included the right of access to highway from this part of the property. In 2020, by a letter issued by a DOT employee, DOT announced that the access right was being taken away and that no compensation was proposed, no public hearing was held. Our client has resisted that from the outset, taking the position that there is neither a right to take away the established driveway, right, to remove the right of access, nor has there been any kind of a hearing to determine that such an action is necessary. This case has been closely followed by property owners around the state because access on a major commercial street, such as Highway 50 in Kenosha, is one of the most valuable attributes of a parcel of property.
So DOT, there is a letter in the record from August 13, 2020 from DOT, and it says the letter serves as official notice that we plan to remove the existing driveway from State Highway 50 to your property during an upcoming improvement project, see enclosed or is in parentheses. So your client did get notice in 2020.
Yes, we got notice. We resisted it from the outset. We pointed that out in our brief. And this litigation is the byproduct of the receipt of that notification.
When you say resisted it, did you submit an objection letter the way that the letter outlined within 30 days?
Yes, that was all done. There's nothing in the record that indicates that there's any disqualification of our client from taking this position. Let me just back off for one moment so you understand that while that letter is an announcement that it is going to be taken and closed as part of the public project, the taking of the property for a public project required this usual process, which you've already alluded to. That is, a jurisdictional offer is issued, then an award is made, and then, for the first time under Wisconsin law, we had the opportunity to challenge that action, and we did it under 3205 sub 5, which is the provision of the eminent domain law that says if you are quarreling with the condemnor about anything other than the amount of money to be paid, you must raise it within a 40-day period of the receipt of the jurisdictional offer.
And it's DOT's position that they do not need to compensate your client because they're taking this land under the police law.
Yes, and what we're saying is if you have no right to take a deeded access, which this is, under the police power. And even if you do propose to take it under the police power, you have to follow due process requirements before you can take any right away from someone under the police power. You cannot exercise police power by issuing a letter.
What do you say about the letter?
You cannot exercise police power by the simple issuance of a peremptory letter.
So what would they, under your reasoning, what type of due process are you due? Because you're obviously saying there's a particular type of due process. It wasn't met by this letter. So what would that due process have looked like?
Under previous cases decided by this court, a due process proceeding is illustrated by notice, an opportunity for hearing, the submission of evidence to establish that the property is driveway in question is a danger, is a traffic hazard, and it needs to be closed in the interest of public health, safety, and welfare. That never occurred here.
When did you reply to the August 13, 2020 letter?
Probably within days of that, but the first opportunity we had to legally challenge it came after the award was filed after the jurisdictional offer was issued, and then we had a 40-day period within which to challenge it, and we did so.
Now, the jurisdictional offer shows nothing specifically, 0.00 for access, correct?
Correct. But as outlined in the Waller line of cases, if you claim that the department is taking more than they've described in the jurisdictional offer, you must challenge that, just like if they were taking less than you think that they've taken. That whole line of cases that ended with Waller made it very clear in directions from this court that if you challenged the condemnor because they were taking too little or too much and it didn't involve the amount of compensation that you were to be paid, you either had to raise that issue within 40 days after the service of the jurisdictional offer, or your claim would be barred. There's never been, and you will not find anywhere in the record, any challenge by DOT to our right to bring this lawsuit on a timely basis. DOT did argue that 3205 sub 5 is not the appropriate remedy, and that issue was not dealt with by the Court of Appeals because they decided the case on other grounds. But there is no question in this case that the property owner responded in a timely manner.
That is, responded to the August 13th, 2020 letter within 30 days?
We responded to the letter. We also responded in the let me back off this way. We do not recognize, nor should this court recognize, that the department can issue a letter and say, we are doing something. The department could have issued a letter and said, we are beginning proceedings to determine whether we can close this driveway under the police power. There will be a hearing held before such and such a body on such and such a date. You have the opportunity to appear. You have the opportunity to object. You have the opportunity to submit evidence. All DOT did here was to say, we're the police. We're sending you this notice. Your driveway is going to be closed. The first opportunity we were given to challenge this was when the jurisdictional offer was listed, and we took the position that they were taking more than they were saying they were taking in the jurisdictional offer.
But the letter says the work associated with this driveway removal will be at no cost to you. If you wish to contest this driveway renewal, please submit an objection letter to my attention within 30 days of receipt of the letter. Your objections should present specific examples justifying why the access point in question is critical for providing reasonable access to the subject property. So
we responded within that 30-day period saying to the department, you do not have a right to close this driveway unless you do it under your eminent domain power and pay just compensation. There is nothing in the record to the contrary.
So I guess I'm just trying to follow your argument. Are you saying that this letter that provided notice and gave your client the opportunity to object as long as the objection was filed within 30 days, that was not sufficient due process? Because you're talking about there should have been a hearing and all these other things, so
DOT did not exercise due process requirements as enunciated by this court. There has to be a hearing. DOT sent us a decision that had been made by DOT, not a proposed decision. Nevertheless, we did respond and objected to it, and the first opportunity we had to challenge it in court proceedings, because DOT did nothing in response to our objection to the letter, was to start the action under 3205 sub 5 within 40 days of the service of the jurisdictional offer.
Counsel, I just want to go back to this procedural question here, and would like your answer to this maybe a little more fully for my satisfaction. So DOT says, 3205, sub 5, the only thing that was actually taken was this part along Highway H, and that closing the right of access, that isn't the right procedure to do that. Maybe you should have done an inverse condemnation proceeding for that particular portion, but that the jurisdictional offer just related to taking property on Highway H, and so it's not the proper vehicle. Could you just respond a little bit more fully to that argument from DOT?
Okay. When DOT issues a jurisdictional offer, it describes what it is proposing to do to a particular piece of property. It can be a taking of all or part of the property. It can call for a permanent easement on the property. It can call for a temporary easement on the property. But perhaps an analogy would be helpful. If DOT comes in and says, we are going to be taking away the front 10 feet of your property that borders the street, and then there are stakes put out there to indicate that, and the stakes are placed 15 feet from the edge of the property. But the jurisdictional offer doesn't say we're taking 15 feet. It says we're taking 10 feet. That is an example where DOT is taking more from the property than they say they're taking from the property. That, according to the Waller line of cases, is something that must be raised within 40 days of service of the jurisdictional offer, and it is the only forum within which to challenge that kind of a taking that is more than what is expressed in the jurisdictional offer form itself.
I want to go to the form because my colleague says what DOT is taking is property along Highway H, but the top of the form says public purpose for property reconstruction of State Highway 50.
That's because this is a corner property, and when DOT is working along a street that is that includes corner properties, they have jurisdiction on both streets for purposes of the construction project.
Okay. All right. So it is Highway H, as Justice Hagedorn says, but it's also Highway 50, as the jurisdictional offer says?
Yes. Highway 50 was involved in this. The appraisal, as we've referred to in our brief, talks about the fact that the access is being taken from the property and it is being taken under police power. What we've pointed out in our brief is that we've resisted the taking under the police power because there's never been any opportunity to raise the issue except in the form of the challenge action under 3205 sub 5.
Okay. All right.
So the eminent domain taking is the H access and the police power
Not H access, easements along Highway H, not
okay.
Access.
And the police power, the department says, is Highway 50.
On the front of the property on Highway 50.
For which nothing is due, they say, because of the easement?
Yes. A few words, if I may, about the reservation. DOT makes no distinction, which is recognized in earlier case law, which we've cited in our brief, between an access point and a right of access. When somebody has a right of access, that right cannot be taken away without just compensation unless it's done under the police power. And if the court will look at the cases that we've cited in our brief, there are very good examples of how the court should be dealing with this particular subject. You know, when you have a property owner, such as the property owner here, who has assembled a parcel of commercial property for development purposes, and one of the key attributes of that property is its right of access to Highway 50, and then someone, Department of Transportation, comes in and says, we're taking away that right of access. That is a valuable stick in the bundle of rights of that property owner. And we're saying the statute provides two ways in which that can be done. You can take it under your eminent domain power, DOT, but then you have to pay what is determined to be just compensation. Or you can take it under the police power, provided you exercise all of the requirements that this court has pointed out are required to do that under the police power. In this case, DOT has said it won't pay anything, and DOT has not exercised its police power. That was the correct determination made by the circuit court in Kenosha County.
There's been much discussion about procedure here, and I want to go to the question on which the Court of Appeals resolved this case. Essentially, what does the indenture say you have? In other words, the Court of Appeals, after looking at the indenture and specifically the driveway reservation that we're talking about today, indicated that it interpreted plain meaning, it said, it interpreted this reservation to have you, the only right you have isn't in full rights, as you claim, they say, but rather a driveway, private driveway, subject to the rules and regulations of the State Highway Commission policies.
Yes, and what we've pointed out in our brief, Justice, is that that requires certain driveways on state trunk highways to be built in with certain dimensions and certain protections. But the right of access, the right itself, is a deeded right that cannot be taken away without just compensation or proper exercise of police power.
Counsel, they would respond, and looking at the language, as did the Court of Appeals, and I really want help on this from you, because the Court of Appeals and your opposing counsel, I think, is it saying that all not, doesn't not mean all to you. By that, let me reference the indenture that says, the right of access, including all existing and future, then I skip, rights of access. So that's what they are taking in this 1961, I guess it is, indenture. All rights of access.
May I answer?
You may answer.
That is only the first part that you've quoted. The second part says, except for the right to access the highway for 15 years for one purpose and thereafter for another purpose. That is the error that we believe the Court of Appeals has committed. And as I pointed out at the outset, when the Court of Appeals says they took everything away from that property, had they taken everything away from that property, they would have landlocked that property and been required to acquire the entire property, not just what they acquired. They left something behind. Taking all access requires a given level of compensation. Taking some of the access requires less. My last comment is to refer to Judge Boss's prescient comment in the case that we've cited in the brief, in which he said DOT cannot do in successive steps what it could not do in a single step. What DOT is asking this court to condone here is a removal of all access from this property without paying full compensation for the removal of that access. Thank you very much for the opportunity to finish my argument.
Thank you. Ms. Jarrett?
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. The Department of Transportation has both the duty and authority to keep our state trunk highways safe. And one of the ways it exercises this authority is by limiting the number of entrances onto state trunk highways to the minimum number necessary for service of particular properties without undue impairment of the safety and utility of the highway. At base, the question before the Court today is whether DOT is required to pay compensation for a police power decision to revoke use of an entrance onto a public highway where that entrance is located on a DOT-owned right-of-way, where it, at least I think before the argument today and based on the record, is undisputed that that revocation will not result in a regulatory taking for debt.
I think what is disputed is whether or not DOT properly exercised the police power. And I'd like to hear your position on that, because it's argued by opposing counsel that what you did denies due process to the landowner.
Yes, Your Honor, and thank you. And that's one of the few factual points, I think, that were made that I'd like to respond to. DEC filed a right to take action challenging DOT's condemnation of land along County Highway H. The jurisdictional offer only includes the taking of land along County Highway H.
Not what it says on the face of the document. I read the face of the document when opposing counsel was talking. It says, public purpose for property reconstruction of STH-050.
And so what that is, Your Honor, is the fact that this highway project as a whole is related to reconstruction of State Trunk Highway 50. But the taking from the DEC property, as reflected in the jurisdictional offer, which enumerates what is being taken, is only property along County Highway H. So DEC files a right to take action to challenge, through which it could, if it wanted to challenge, the taking of that land along County Highway H. Instead, it raises no challenge to that. Instead, it says, we want to challenge the fact that DOT will be closing this driveway along State Trunk Highway 50. And they jumped the gun on that because DOT had not closed the driveway on State Trunk Highway 50. So then DOT issues the August 13th, 2020 letter that explains that it will be revoking use of this entrance pursuant to police power authority because it's no longer safe. And the reason why, I think there were questions to opposing counsel about what DEC's response to that was. The reason why none of that is in this record is because this record is DEC's right to take action, which is an improper procedure. We do not have anything in the record about what happened in the proper procedure, that being 86073, which provides abutting landowners with a specific ability to challenge DOT's police power decision to revoke use. We don't have that here because...
Why don't you?
Because DEC has brought this under the wrong procedure.
Well, you know, he's arguing. I mean, maybe he's got a different statute than you would be comfortable with, but it's clear that what they're arguing is that the people that own this property and have had this use of this access since at least 1961 don't think that DOT followed the proper procedure. They haven't had their say about why DOT shouldn't just be gobbling it up under the police power and paying nothing.
So their ability to challenge that is through that revocation procedure where they could argue that DOT needed somehow to proceed through eminent domain and wasn't properly exercising its police power. It's a result of DEC's use of an incorrect procedure that none of that is before the court. And I would just stress that
How is it not before the court? I mean, it's in the briefs. You responded to it in your brief.
What I mean, Your Honor, is that they are arguing that there was not due process here.
Right. That's because there was never a hearing and there's never been a finding that this access causes safety problems on Highway 50.
And my response to that is whether or not DOT proceeded under the proper procedure is not part of the record before this court because they brought a right to take action. So what 86073 provides is an opportunity. It starts with DOT at the local level reviewing its decision, the decision that's made in that August 13 letter. It then gives them the opportunity to make arguments about whether or not that needed whether or not the driveway really needs to be closed. There is then administrative review, and it proceeds onward from that. The other point I would make to Your Honor and to Your Honor's point and to their argument about hearings is that all of that is based on their discussion of hearings and notice and public hearings. That's all based on circumstances where the department designates a highway, a controlled access highway under 8425. And that's an entirely separate process than what we're talking about here
today. This is not a controlled access.
It is not. And that's a different process because in controlled access...
Yeah, but the police power still has got to have some underpinnings. I can't believe the DOT can say, voila, I'm going to take this and I'm going to use the police power. There's got to be some foundation for DOT to be able to do that.
You're right, and there is. And I would just stress that DOT has not taken anything through revoking use, but the police power authority, to go to Your Honor's question, 86072 specifically prohibits anyone from having an entrance onto a state trunk highway without DOT permission.
Well, they had permission from DOT, at least since 1961. The indentures are in the record.
And 86072 then also provides that DOT may promulgate regulations for enforcement and conditioning and limiting entrances onto the highways. That's exactly what DOT did through 231.03(2), which specifically provides that the number of entrances onto a state trunk highway shall be the minimum number necessary for service of particular property without undue impairment of the safety of the highway. And then 86073, as I've discussed, provides the procedure through which a landowner can challenge that determination.
That doesn't. Can you help me understand the lack of a permit in this, how it might impact your argument? So there is not a permit here, correct?
There's nothing in the record that establishes there was a permit.
Okay,
correct.
But 86073 and the section 3. Forgetting the number right now, under the administrative code, are those still 231, thank you, 231.03. Those would still apply even though there's not a permit?
Yes, Your Honor, and the reason for that is that 86072 says no one can have an entrance onto a state trunk highway without a permit from DOT, full stop. Can't happen, can't exist. And so what this court said in this court has interpreted that in the Bayer decision, 86072, to require that every entrance onto a state trunk highway has a permit. So essentially, DEC cannot use the fact that it did not obtain a permit to somehow say that it is exempt from the procedures that apply to everybody.
So how can you say that there was never a permit when you've got two indentures that were prepared by DOT giving the use of the same driveway?
So there's only
doesn't
one.
Isn't that permitted? Well, I've got two, but you may have one.
So, Your Honor, just so there's no confusion about DEC, that DEC in their complaint originally included two indentures. Mm-hmm. One of those does not actually relate to the DEC property at issue here. Right. So we're only talking about the June 1961 indenture that references the barbershop.
But this was put together by DOT, right?
It was put together by DOT.
And
however,
it has the same driveway that we're all arguing about today, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So as long as DOT put this in writing, why can't I interpret that as a permit to use the driveway?
Well, so I think Your Honor is correct in that through this indenture, DEC, who was the grantor, and I think it's really important that we keep that in mind, that DOT did not grant anything to DEC through this. DEC, its predecessor in title, but I'll just say DEC, was the grantor to DOT. Through that, what DEC kept for itself in that driveway reservation was an ability to continue to seek use of an entrance onto the highway at that particular location, even though DEC sold to DOT in that indenture for compensation the right of access, that being the stick that is the compensable right to enter and exit the property.
But it says except there is reserved the right of access to said highway. I mean, so I understand what you're saying, but you have to read the whole document, and the document has an exception, and that's why we're all arguing here. If there weren't an exception, well, then you would certainly be correct.
So I think there are a few important pieces to keep in mind. Okay. I think the Court of Appeals got this exactly right, that we have to look at all of that language in its context as we read any language.
Sure.
And what that indenture said, DEC's interpretation would require this Court to delete out and or render superfluous numerous provisions of that indenture, the first being that DEC has sold to DOT the right of access, including any existing, current, or future. It would also require this court to render superfluous all of the language that follows the language that Your Honor just read.
I don't think it makes any of the earlier language superfluous, because I think clearly there was a very broad grant from the landowner to DOT, but there also was an exception to the specific grant that's set out in the deed.
So 2 points on that. I think the first point is, well, I'll start with the language and then I'll move to the broader legal point. Mm-hmm. We follow that with a number of restrictions that makes clear what we're talking about is just the use of a reserved driveway subject to DOT regulation that for the first 15 years can only be used for barbershop purposes, then only a private driveway at this one particular location. And so that, and this leads to the broader legal point, is not a compensable right of access. When we talk about what is the compensable right of access under Wisconsin law, that is the right to enter and exit the property without trespassing on the private property of another, so that ingress-egress right. DOT purchased that from DEC in 1961. And so it is really DEC that is attempting to be compensated twice. And if I could...
How can I interpret, except there is reserved the right of access to said highway? I mean, that's what's written in the document that DOT put together. And I agree with you that the earlier part of the document gives DOT broad rights. But from those broad rights, this is at the very end of the document, there is an exception.
So this is where, Your Honor, I think this court's decision in Narlock is really so illustrative, because Narlock would be if we essentially all traveled back in time to 1961 after this indenture was entered.
Okay.
And the indenture has the same language that says DOT is purchasing any existing future or potential common law or statutory right of access. The property owners in Narlock reserved particular points of access, but the difference would be that we, back in 1961, as the Department of Transportation, were arguing that we did not have to compensate the property owners for their lost right of access because the property owners still had reserved particular points of access. And what this court said in Narlock is no DOT. You bought, it is in that deed that you bought the right of access that is compensable, that being the right of ingress and egress to and from the property. It does not matter that the property owners still have reserved a particular point of access. In purchasing the right of access, you purchase their ability to be judged on the criteria, and so therefore you must pay compensation. That all happened here, but it happened in 1961.
Okay, well, you're just reading out the except for out of the indenture, in my view.
Well, I would point Your Honor's attention to the fact...
words don't say what you're arguing to me I should interpret them as.
What I would direct Your Honor's attention...
And I've read Narlock, and I was just looking at the parts you talked about, and the Court of Appeals relied very strongly on it. But that doesn't mean that you can't have an indenture that specifically describes a particular right that the landowner kept.
Well, I would just point Your Honor to page 432 of Narlock, where this court talks about the department is not merely regulating access, but is taking all rights of access except for the specific access points described in the award. This court said that and yet still said that DOT had to pay compensation for the right of access it took. And the reason is that because what is the compensable right of access, as this court has said repeatedly throughout the case law, is the right of ingress and egress from the property to the highway, not a particular point of access. And the other thing that I would stress is ultimately this whole discussion complicates what really isn't complicated, because it is well-established law that DOT's exercises of its police power are not compensable unless they result in a regulatory taking. It is also well-established law that DOT cannot contract away its police power. And it is undisputed here that the revocation of use of this driveway does not result in a regulatory taking for the deck property.
But you do agree with opposing counsel that DOT has never held a hearing before it decided to exercise these police power provisions, correct?
There was not a hearing before they issued that letter.
Right.
However, that is not required for the regulation of access under 8607 or 231.
And that's what I want to follow up on, counsel, is I just want to make sure I have a good understanding of how this should have played out in your view.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you say shouldn't have been 32055. After we send the letter, now you ran through it quickly, but maybe you could slow it down for me a little bit.
Sure.
Letter gets issued. Property owner sends something back, then what happens?
Right. And so this is all set forth in the different provisions of 86073.
Yeah.
So that begins, if they had an objection, the local office would then submit it, essentially higher up within DOT for review.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there is the determination, and I can just pull the statute, if there is the determination that the entrance will be closed, then the landowner is notified that they have a right to seek administrative review. So
that would be a 227 review?
That would be a 227 review.
So after there's the notifications there and a written request within 30 days, there's a hearing, yada, yada, yada. So
yep.
They could go to 227, and that would be – that's the place where you would say the challenge to this decision to shut that down to could be challenged even further after this initial round of notifications and discussion.
Yes, Your Honor. And I would point this court to the J&E Investments case that is cited in the briefs. That's exactly what happened. That case is a good example of DOT making the decision to revoke use of a particular entrance to a highway. The landowner followed the 86073 procedures, and what I would particularly note is that one of the arguments that the landowner made in that case was that DOT had not properly or could not properly invoke its police power authority and instead needed to proceed under eminent domain, and that was one of the issues that was litigated through that process. So that's exactly right.
Is it your preferred outcome? I mean, there's obviously multiple different outcomes and arguments in this case. Is your preferred outcome that this court dismiss it as an improperly filed action under 32055 and that the rest of this gets – is that what you would like this court to do?
We would like this court to affirm the Court of Appeals decision on the merits. The Court of Appeals got this exactly right, gave it very careful attention. We think that provides clarity. However, if this court is for whatever reason disinclined to affirm the Court of Appeals rationale, then it cannot grant relief for DEC in the posture in which they raised this, because to do so would violate the statutes that do provide the correct procedure. It would violate this court's holding in 118th Street, which goes directly against exactly what DEC did here, which is the fact that this court in 118th Street specifically said that even though the Department of Transportation may be and frequently is engaged in simultaneous different types of exercises of its different authorities within the broader context of one large highway project, an action separate from a taking, specifically this court in 118th Street talked about an action to challenge a lost point of access, can't be raised through a procedure that's available for a taking where the loss of that point of access is the result of a DOT exercise separate from the taking. And so that's exactly what we have here.
Counsel, at the outset of the argument this morning, there was discussion about the property we are looking at today being landlocked without the driveway on Highway 50. Could you address that, please?
Yes. So we have raised throughout this litigation the fact that this does not result in a regulatory taking. This does not landlock the deck property because they retain the driveway entrance to County Highway H that, as you can tell from that map in color, is directly intersects with State Trunk Highway 50.
So there is a driveway on H currently?
There is a driveway entrance onto the property. I believe, and opposing counsel can speak to this, but I believe what opposing counsel is saying is that because it is an undeveloped property, perhaps there is not the sense of a fully developed driveway, but it is undisputed here, and I'll let him speak to that because I don't want to guess too much about the argument there, but it is undisputed that they retain entrance and exit to and from the property from County Highway H. I would point this court's attention to the circuit court record where we noted this is record number 44, pages 13 to 14, that they retain the County H driveway. They agree to the circuit court that there are no essential facts in dispute at 64, page 4. We have argued that repeatedly throughout this case. They have not disputed that. And I think this is a good example of why we don't do new factual arguments before this court. I would also stress that if they are now arguing, or if they somehow believe they can say that this property is somehow landlocked, there's a procedure for that too, and that's inverse condemnation. They haven't done that here, presumably because they do have this driveway onto County Highway H. One of the other things I just want to stress in further illustrating how the Court of Appeals got this exactly right and why it did is that Deck's argument depends on this court holding that this 1961 indenture somehow granted to Deck more, the DOT somehow granted to Deck more rights than other landowners have, even though it is clear that DEC was the grantor and DOT was the grantee. And here's what I mean by this. Let's imagine that the 1961 indenture never happened. And DEC still owns this land abutting State Trunk Highway 50 and seeks and obtains permission to use this exact same driveway entrance onto the highway. And DOT for a while says, yes, this is safe to use. And then says, we've now determined that this is no longer safe to use, that it's at the very close to the intersection of this large highway, and we've determined it's no longer safe. DOT notifies DEC, just as they did through that letter, that it's going to close the driveway. Would DEC be entitled to compensation? No, because it is an exercise of police power that does not result in a regulatory taking. So we see that DEC's argument depends on more rights being granted to it, that being a compensable right to DOT's police power exercise that would not exist for every other abutting landowner.
Well, what about the hearing preceding DOT's decision? There was never a hearing here, and you're saying that they can't have a hearing now, even though I think earlier on, in response to Justice Hagedorn's question, you said, well, there might be a hearing under Chapter 227.
Well, no, I've said that there is a hearing that's provided for under 86073. Mm-hmm. It follows DOT's notification that it intends to close this driveway. What I'm saying is that whole process is not in this record because we are here on DEC's improper right to take action. And I think this whole discussion just further illustrates why this court stressed in 118th Street that it's important to use the right procedures, because DOT is often engaged in highway projects in multiple different types of exercises of authority at relatively similar times, and our legislature has prescribed specific procedures to use. So that's the point that I'm making.
Okay, so you're saying under sub 4 it can't do what they did?
Under
Subsection 4 is what he said he operated under, I think it was 3206 or 09 sub 4.
32055?
I don't know.
Right. So they're using a right to take action, right, which challenges DOT's ability to take property,
right,
even though they are not challenging any of the property that DOT took through the jurisdictional offer. And here's another way to see why that their use of this procedure just can't be right. If DOT took this, and I'm going to be a little facetious here, but this is just to prove why this argument doesn't make sense. If DOT took this property in the jurisdictional offer, if it was accompanied by an award of damages for it, then what are we here fighting about? Well, we're here fighting about this because DOT did not take this property because it's, in DOT's view, a police power exercise, and they disagree with that. So they used an improper procedure. The procedures matter here, and that's what this court said in 118th Street.
Just one quick follow-up on the 86073. And Justice Kurofsky asked about this, but that process applies when you deny a request for a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And how does your – can you explain one more time? You send a letter – you sent them a letter about this. They're supposed to reply back. Is that the request for a permit? I'm trying to figure out how this 86073 process gets triggered, since we don't have any official permit necessarily going on here.
Right. And so the reason why it applies. And, of course, there's also the alternative 3210 inverse condemnation if they believe they could meet that standard. But the reason why this applies here is because 86072, as this court explained in Bayer, requires that there be a permit for every entrance onto a state trunk highway. And so whether we want to look at this as what Justice Rogensack argued, that this deed somehow was that permit, or something else, there cannot be a circumstance where there is an entrance, at least lawfully, where there is an entrance onto a state trunk highway without a permit. And so the fact that DEC did not get the permit that it needed to get does not mean somehow then it gets to circumvent the procedures that are required for everybody. Ultimately,
would your response to Justice Hagedorn change if you would agree that the indenture is a type of permit from DOT to the landowner?
Would my response about the proper procedure?
Yeah.
I don't think it would. The proper procedure here is 86073, which is the procedure that DOT initiated through that August 13th letter.
So what you'd be saying is that even if Justice Rogensack were to just follow up her, If that constituted a permit and this was being closed, you're saying, well, then that triggers it because it would be denial of that permit, I guess, if
right,
they were saying we're going to close it.
Right. It's notification that we're revoking use of your entrance onto the state highway. And ultimately, DOT bought and paid for the stick that is compensable under Wisconsin law in 1961. DEC has not lost anything that it had under that indenture. That indenture made clear that continued use of that driveway was subject to DOT regulation. That regulation has and does include the authority to revoke use of entrances onto state trunk highways, and DOT has now made that determination. In the same way that if I said to my friend, I have a boat, you have a right to use my boat as long as I think it's safe, and then she uses the boat. I later say it's no longer safe for you to use it. She has not lost anything from our original agreement because our original agreement always made clear that her use was subject to me saying it was safe. And that's exactly what we have here. And so we would ask the court to affirm the Court of Appeals' thoughtful, thorough analysis in the Department of Transportation's favor. Thank you. Unless there are any further...
I'm still wanting to talk with you because you're very helpful.
Good.
The access that was permitted by the indenture, if that was a permit, what you're saying then is the letter revoked the permit.
That's notification of DOT's, if I can finish the answer to the
mm-hmm.
That's notification of DOT's intention to revoke the permit. And then what we have, the reason I say that is we need to keep in mind that 86073 process envisions that then, and this was also addressed in the letter, that a higher level office within the Department of Transportation would review the decision.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sometimes 5 minutes doesn't seem like a very long period of time. I'm going to try to just comment briefly, if I may. I prefer very strongly that the court look at the actual facts of this case, not a bunch of hypothetical possibilities. There are two kinds of access that are permitted, to use the word permit in a different context in this state. First, this court has made it clear that every property owner, and there's a statute that we've cited in our brief, people who own property have the right to ingress and egress to any public street or highway that abuts their property, unless it's taken away in some way. So now let's look at this, which was drafted by DOT. And these two paragraphs need to be read together. The first paragraph, after it talks about what's being taken away for fee purposes, says, also, the right of access, including all existing, future, or potential access. Including all existing, future, or potential common law or statutory easements or rights of access between any traveled way of State Highway 50 and the following described land of the owner where it abuts upon the highway. And then you get to the exception, except there is reserved the right of access to said highway. Well, the right of access still should be deemed to include the same things that the previous paragraph referred to, including all existing future or potential access. It's very noteworthy also that DOT counsel does not say this access was ever revoked, except through this letter. If this court finds that a letter issued by an employee of
the... I want to go back to the language, because then you're reading the first part, but there's the part that comes after it that says, for the term of 15 years, from the date of this conveyance, and then to become a private driveway, conforming to the regulations of the State Highway Commission. So it's... There's then an exception to the exception that you pointed out.
Conforming to the regulations do not deal with a deeded access. This property did not hold a permit. This indenture did not say, except you can have a permit, you can have a revocable permit to this property, or this right will consist or last only so long as you're the owner, or it will last for 24 years, or whatever it is. It's a permanent deeded right of access to the property. We are not saying it can't be taken away. What we're saying is, if you're trying to take it away without exercising the police power, you must take it away under your eminent domain power. That means you have to pay compensation, whatever that might be, $1 or $1 million.
Well, what did DOT buy in 1961?
They bought all of the other rights of this property to get onto the highway except for this one driveway. Before that occurred, this property had an access right anywhere along its frontage on Highway 50. There's never been a permit here. There's never been a procedure to revoke a permit here. All there has been is an announcement from a DOT employee, we're closing this driveway. That was included in the appraisal that was provided by statute to the property owner that this driveway was being closed under the police power. But it's never been closed under the police power because the police power has not been exercised. This court has previously held in earlier cases that a simple announcement or pronouncement by a governmental body that is not an exercise that meets due process requirements.
Counsel, with regard to due process, If you had responded to the August 13, 2020 letter...
Which we did, Your Honor.
And if you would have pursued it under 860731, which is the administrative review, and it was determined after you had sent that letter that you lose, then under 860733(3), you have the right to notification of... to notify the applicant of a right to hearing before the Division of Hearing and Appeals. So there is due process giving you the right to a hearing before.
We objected. We never received any notification of any proceeding before the department. Ever. To
right.
This day.
Thank you. All right. The court is adjourned. We will convene in closed conference at 1:30.